ओम शांति, ओम शांति. पुट योर हैंड्स टुगेदर फॉर सिस्टर गोपी. दो सिस्टर गोपी डजंट नीड एनी इंट्रोडक्शन, बट जस्ट इन ब्रीफ लेट मी इंट्रोड्यूस यू. शी इज अ परफेक्ट ब्लेंड ऑफ ईस्ट एंड वेस्ट. शी रेज्ड इन अफ्रीका एंड एजुकेटेड इन यूके एंड इंडिया. It's been over 40 years since she dedicated her life. She is an international speaker and a spiritual educator. She is interested in exploring and promoting the inner principles of leadership. She also works in the field of reconciliation and harmony. And today's topic, which Didi is going to take, is last so fast, so first. Over to you, Didi. And please try to sit in front. Please fill up the gaps. Thank you.
Om Shanti. Lovely to see a small double foreign family. We say in India, chota parivar, sukhi parivar. Small family, happy family. But also small family gets extra attention, right? Big family, you get lost. Small family, you get extra attention. So, how many in this gathering have had the thought, I've come late? Raise your hand. Yeah, be honest. I've come late. Okay. You have waste thoughts about that? Coming late? This one says no, this one says yes, she says yes. Yes. There's like this hope for making effort. We love Baba, we've realized. But then there's this little thing at the back of the mind that says, but I'm late. How am I going to catch up? Right? That's what I want to address today. Because you can't move forward in your Brahmin life with any sense of feeling like you're being left behind, or you're late, or you're not going to make it in time. Because all these feelings, they act like a virus behind the scenes, right? You know, Avyakt Pap Dada once shared that Baba became avyakt to give birth to all his children. And the avyakt creation is the last so fast creation. Because when Baba became avyakt, the task of service speeded up. Because now Baba doesn't have any constraints, right? And through the avyakt part, all of us were born. Which means we already have the blessing of last so fast. Did you ever think of it like that? If you are born in the avyakt part, then it means you already have the blessing of last so fast. That's very important to remember. That blessing already exists with me, because Avyakta Brahma was mother. And anything that is avyakt has speed in it. So we are the creation and avyakta creation. We have the blessing of speed. Even though we're last, we can go fast. That means in the avyakt, we can catch signals quickly. If your thoughts are honest and pure, quickly transformation can happen, because that gift we have. Now the question is, when you receive a blessing, do you use it? Or do you just put it aside in a bank and say, well, yeah, that's nice, not for me. So if we already have this blessing of lust so fast, then what's the issue? What's the issue? Effort. Okay, even that will cover. What else is the issue for you? What's slowing you down? Sorry? Your sanskars. So, old sanskars. Okay, what else is slowing you down? Sorry? Not having dedication. What else slows you down? Waste thoughts. Negative thoughts. So for this blessing to work, the first thing you have to look at is your relationship with time. In this period of time, Babas often says, when you remember time, you will value every thought. Because this Sangam Yoga is the time for earning a full income from Baba. So the first thing you need to look at in terms of your relationship with time, what's going on there? I'd like you to pull out your notebooks and pens here, because I want to do some reflection work in between the class. So I want you to write down this question in your notebook. What is your relationship with time? And I want you to take a few moments to just think about this relationship, your relationship with time. Are you wasting time? You don't know what to do with time. There's not enough time. How would you describe your relationship with time? Okay. How many of you keep a timetable? One, two, three, four, five. How many of you keep a timetable? Okay. Now, how many of you keep a timetable of your mind? For your mind. One, two, three, four, five. Yes. This is something that Baba has talked to us about. Not only do you keep a timetable for the bodily activities that we have to carry out in a day, but also a timetable for keeping the mind occupied. And this is the fastest way to do double service. Many times we have a to-do list. I'm going to do this and this and this and this, and then we surrender our mind to that activity. So our self-respect is put to one side as we go about our daily activities. So if you continue moving forward at that rate, you're not going to get very far, are you? So one aspect is to, yes, make a timetable for the body and your bodily activities, and to make sure you don't waste time at any level. Because it's such an easy thing to do, to waste time. Yeah, you get a bit tired, go to sleep. It's okay to go to sleep, but go to sleep as in your intellect. You know? So a timetable for your activities and a timetable for your mind. This is very, very important. And you know, one of the feelings I've often had is Baba's pure thoughts for us, as always being showered. We're sitting in Baba's drishti. Baba found you. You didn't find Baba. Do you agree? Baba found you, right? Yeah, exactly. That means he's had his eye on you for a while. He said, what's that one doing there? What's he up to there? We're going to get that little jewel over there in the corner. So Baba's had his eye on you long before you even recognized Baba. Which means the moment someone's eye has recognized you, you're already in Baba's drishti. Aren't you? And if you're already in Baba's drishti, then you're safe. To remember this is very important. When you stay in the awareness that I'm in Baba's drishti, then you open yourself up to receiving from Baba. Baba's bhavna, Baba's pure thoughts, whatever is in your part, all of that will get activated when you just remember that I am being held in Baba's drishti. When you forget that, you become ordinary. You become alone and you feel ordinary. And that's when you start to struggle. It's such a super shift of consciousness. Because to go fast in our efforts, it doesn't mean to run fast and compete and outrun and force. No, it means to become even more subtle in our awareness. The more subtle we become in our thinking, the more subtle we become in our feelings, the faster our efforts are. I remember asking Daddy this question one time. Daddy, what effort are you making? And she replied very simply to say, I keep my feelings clean. Right? So the first aspect we talked about is your relationship with time. That at a very deep level, you have to examine where your time is going. What are you doing with your time? Because if you don't deal with that, all your efforts have like a chain to them. You can't progress if you don't sort out your relationship with time. But the second aspect is the aspect of becoming more subtle inside. So, you know, we come, we sit for Amrit Vela, we listen to the Murli, we tick all the boxes of the accurate maryadas and everything, but still we feel nothing's moving inside. As we say in Hindi, vese hi vese rege. Right? We just like that. So the method to move inside is to keep your thoughts and your feelings very light and very subtle. Now, Baba one time talked about the method for the last so fast effort. Because everything has a method. We make effort, but the effort you want to make, do you know the method for that? Because when you have the right method, then that effort is always successful. You know, in Brahmin life, it's not about making effort on a hit and miss basis. I will just do a bit of this and see what happens. Do a bit of that and see what happens. This is a study place. It's a university. So the method, if anyone can guess, what is the method for the last so fast effort? What do you think it could be? Sorry? Follow Father. It's one word, actually. Not to waste time. Remain? Remain centered. Love is there anyway. Love is why you're here, right? Love made you come close. Love makes you surrender. Love makes you feel Baba's companionship. But what's the effort that will make you go last so fast? Utilize each and every moment of time. Remembrance. That's the wholesale answer, right? It's one word and it begins with a P. Planning. Before planning. This will help your Pursharat. Purity. You do this for purity. It's called promise. Isn't it? Vrat. Promise. You know, we listen to a lot of Gyan. How many promises have you made? Yeah. Look at that practically. Because if you haven't made a promise, you cannot keep. On what basis are you going to keep yourself in line? On what basis are you going to keep your thoughts and feelings clean? You know, it's, I know for myself in my Brahmin life, it's my promises that have sustained me. You know, when you first come and live in the center, you live in a small room, three beds, your next door neighbors are snoring very nicely, right? And you think, and I came from a nice big household, in a nice big bedroom, ensuite bathroom by myself, and then I come, and I thought, I can't tolerate this. And every night they're snoring away peacefully. And I'm not having any sleep. And after a few weeks, I can't do this anymore. And then I go to Baba's room. And I say, Baba, that's it. Enough is enough. I can't take this snoring anymore. And then I just sit with Baba. And Baba looks at me. And I have this feeling as if Baba's saying, do you remember the promise you made to me? Wherever I put you, whatever I give you to eat, whatever I give you to wear. And I said, yes, Baba, I made that promise. And I remember in that moment when I remembered that promise, I took a deep breath and all that anxiety just disappeared. So, you know, there's something about a commitment in Brahmin life that has to be made not to do something and something you have to do. You can't just keep moving forward in Brahmin life trying to understand everything before you do something. Because that in itself is an illusion. Whatever it is, I realize now, I have to make a decision and a promise about it. If I've realized something is not good for me, I have to say, that's it. Not that anymore. That's not who I am anymore. That's not what I'm going to do anymore. And you have to make a promise. And then you have to make a promise about what you have to do as well. So you need to now think about, what are the promises I've actually made? Yeah? What are the promises I've made to Baba? That's a big wholesale thing, follow Srimad. But which aspects of Srimad have you really made a promise about? If you've said purity at a physical level, okay, it's fine, but that's very basic. Purity in your speech means what? It means you don't gossip. It means you don't talk waste about anybody. You don't tell stories about anybody. You definitely don't defame anybody. You don't criticize anybody. I mean, these are things that when you realize there are aspects of dharana that are not up to standard, Baba's standard, yeah, then have you made a promise? Because if you haven't made a promise, you're not going to move. You're going to stay in Maya's web, and you're going to keep calling out to Baba and saying to Baba, free me, free me. And Baba says, you spun the web yourself. You invoked Maya. Now you're asking Baba to free you? So you need to really think about in your Brahmin life, what are the promises I have made? And what are the promises I have to make to clean up ship? Because this whole thing works on the basis of determination. You know, I remember when COVID happened, and I had COVID, then we got taken to the hospital in Ahmedabad. And Sister Mahini had called. And she said something I won't forget. She said, in order to control matter, you need a determined thought. But you will only keep a determined thought when you've made a promise. We make promises to human beings, right? Don't we? And then we feel so obliged to those promises. I've got to fulfill it. It bothers your mind, doesn't it? I haven't done it. I told them I would do that. I gave them my word. And then you think, oh, I have to do it. I have to do it. Human beings make promises to each other every day. In what form? People are getting married every day. Right? I promise till death do us part. And then you have to fulfill that promise. So when we make a promise to Baba, do you have that feeling, I gave my word to Baba? Do you have that much concern to stay true to your promise to Baba? Or do you sometimes feel, well, I'm not quite sure I want to make a promise about that yet? Because if I make a promise about that, it means I have to give it up. And maybe I just want a little bit of it. Right? So the areas that you haven't made a promise is the area where your attachments still lie. Don't they? So you need to take a good... This is a beautiful time at the end of the year to do this work. You have to do this work. We can accelerate. So when we start the new year, you can start in fifth gear. Does that make sense? And then every thought you have will be stamped by Baba. Because you've done the work of sorting out your relationship with time, making the promise, cleaning up your thoughts. That will only happen when you make a decision. That is not who I am. Baba is not going to clean your thoughts up for you. Yeah, we sit with all our waste thoughts. We sit to meditate and we think, Baba, do something. He's not there to clean up your rubbish. He's giving you gyan for you to make a decision about what to do and what not to do. You make the decision. You know, yesterday in Baba's Murli, Baba spoke about remembering the aim and remembering the one who gives the aim. You remember yesterday's Murli? And several times in the Murli, Baba used this word. In Hindi, he used this word, duvida. Don't allow yourself to be in duvida. It got translated as confusion, but it actually means a dilemma. You know what a dilemma is? You're just in you're not quite sure, this or this. So it's not confusion, but you're just not quite sure, this or this. It's a dilemma. That Baba described as a form of body consciousness. And you will exist in a state of being in a dilemma, in a state of flux, and it will take your energy because you're not quite sure. Because you haven't made a promise. So this is a very deep subject to look at. Because this is the one thing that will accelerate your efforts. When you make a really heartfelt promise to Baba, the pure thought, Baba stamps it, and it's on that basis, that's the courage. The commitment you make is the step of courage you take that allows Baba to give a thousandfold help. Right? So really remembering this word promise is so important, and realize that if there are areas in your Brahmin life where you're still being bothered by Maya, or you're still feeling held back, you're feeling like you're in bondage, it means you haven't examined and made a decision in that area. You just let it go. Pushed it under the carpet, hoping it'll go away. But it won't go away. You have to face it, make a decision, and make a promise. And that way, slowly, slowly, with your promises, and as you revise your promises every day, what starts to happen is your mind and intellect start to set. So you develop an incredible clarity as you move forward in your Brahmin life. So when the mind and intellect are clean and clear, everything moves at a very fast speed. Immediately your discernment improves, your insights improve, your catching power improves, everything improves. So moving forward fast in Brahmin life is all about one word, a promise. Now, okay, we say promise. I promise, Baba, I will be with you forever. Yeah, and then what happens? Maya comes along, smacks you a little bit, swallows you whole. Many have listened, spoke, written letters in blood, and they're not here today. So I'm talking about making not macro promises, micro promises. Because in your brain, you know, physically, the soul moves like a rocket, but the body moves like a louse. Yeah, matter, drama moves like a louse, right? So even if with your thoughts you've gone 20 steps ahead, physiology and matter still has to catch up. Right? So sometimes we make this really super big promise, but then we don't know what the next step is. Have you ever had that experience? Made a big promise, grand promise to Baba, but you have no idea what the next step is. So after a couple of days, Om Shanti. So when I say bring it down to a micro promise, it means start to realize, what do I have to do now? The one or two things I have to implement immediately. You have to bring it back down to a micro level. Because until you do that, your brain will not accept I can change. It'll be overwhelmed. And when it's overwhelmed, it'll shut down. And then you'll just give up. I can't do it. No problem. Not possible. Okay, let's just follow this one. Let's just listen to this one's classes. Let's hope something will happen. But you've completely lost the position of being a self-sovereign in your Brahman life. You are a master. If God has handpicked you, you are a master. That is a reality. So why are you becoming a victim? You know, sometimes in Baba's Muralis, Baba talks about soul-conscious drishti. Right? He says, children, see everyone as brothers, souls. Soul-conscious drishti is a very difficult effort. It's not easy. It's not about trying to see the star in the center of the forehead. Right? It's a very subtle effort of feeling yourself as a soul interacting with another soul. It requires a lot of attention because we're so used to being trapped in our self-image and in the self-image of others. Aren't we? You know, you carry around a little snapshot in your head. Because you look at yourself every day in the mirror, so you know what your face looks like, don't you? So when you come into interaction with others, and if you don't pay attention to being soul conscious, then guess what you're doing? You're just projecting that image. That's why that relationship, you enter a game, projection, attention seeking. They're going to look at me, look at them, give them some time. You enter a subtle game. But when you're soul conscious, there's no game. There's no needing to be liked, needing to be seen, needing to be recognized. Whatever you are, however you are, that's it. So it's very liberating as an experience. And then sometimes, after Baba's spoken that kind of murli, you know, and you ask people, so what's the effort you're going to make today? What do people say? I'm going to look at everybody as a soul today. How long do you think that's going to last? Half an hour? You're lucky if it's half an hour. What about you meet someone that triggers your buttons? Om Shanti. Right? So that's too big an effort to make. The purpose of effort is to make an accurate, precise effort that emerges that sanskara. So effort has to be time-bound and relationship-bound. So you have to know when you're going to practice this and with whom are you going to practice it. So instead of saying, okay, I'm going to be soul conscious with everybody today, take one relationship. Just take one relationship in that day. And say today, I frequently meet this person, but at least 5 times today, I'm going to remind myself, I am a soul speaking to the soul. Look for the soul's specialities. So what you do when you work at a micro level, you emerge that sanskara. It's easy to make the effort. Your brain can accept it. The sanskara will emerge if you do it every day for at least 3 days, definitely. That sanskara will start to emerge. Then that sanskara, once it's emerged, guess what? Very naturally you'll start to see everybody as souls. Does that make sense? It's like that little pinhole. You have to go through a pinhole to be able to become unlimited. So this is very important. People don't understand the need for micro-promises in Brahmin life. Small, small things. One or two things at a time. Complete that. Move on to the next thing. Don't be blind and just wholesale and hope and wish. It doesn't work like that. This is a study place. So promise. So I want you to just take a few moments now and just think about, what are the promises you've made to Baba? And what are the promises you still have to make? So take a couple of moments and reflect on that. And it could be, it's a promise not to do something, or a promise to do something. Sometimes we've made lots of promises to do things, but we haven't made a promise not to do something. That's why the old sanskaras still rule. Okay, so the first was time, the second was promise, right? We're going step by step through what we need to do to start putting some speed back in our efforts again. And then the third thing is to do double service. Serve yourself and serve others at the same time. How is that going to happen? How is that going to happen? Serve yourself and serving others at the same time. You want to go fast, right? Yeah? Because you've got a lot of income to earn. Blessings and good wishes. That means give and receive blessings. Give and receive good wishes. Yeah. It doesn't matter what happens, you have to set your attitude at this level. Because a heart that is full of good wishes is a heart that will ignite good wishes in others. It's very simple. See, if you don't have any feelings inside you, you're empty. You come in front of me and you talk gyan, I won't feel a thing. I listen to your words, they'll sound very fancy and nice, but nothing will wake up inside me. That's not service. Service is when someone feels inspired, when someone's feelings have been motivated, they've been uplifted, and they feel, yes, I can do this, I want to do this, I want to know God, I want to come close to God. So to keep yourself in a state of good wishes accelerates self-service and world service. And this was one of Daddy's secrets, actually. It was a pretty obvious secret because, you know, she often used to say that staying in good wishes was her protection. Yeah. One day I remember this sister came to her and said to her, "But Daddy, I can have good wishes for somebody, but what if somebody has bad wishes for me?" And Daddy said to her, "Don't think like this." At a soul's core, nobody has bad wishes. In that moment, they're just being influenced. So if in your mind you accept that somebody doesn't like you, somebody doesn't appreciate you, somebody that has bad wishes for you, you're basically inviting Maya and Ravan into your mind. Don't even accept that. That at a soul level, all of us have good wishes for each other. And you know why people complain to us? Why do they complain about us? They complain because they don't like you? Why do people complain about you? People complain because they want to receive something from you. And they're not receiving something from you. Whatever Baba has given you, they're not getting that from you. So they're going to complain. So when you understand a complaint like that, because you know what complaint in Hindi is? It's faryad. Yad is remembrance, faryad is complaint. So when you're not receiving from Baba, and your feelings and good wishes are not improving, souls are not feeling anything from you. So they will complain and they will pull. So don't see somebody complaining about you as negative. It's not negative. It's just a signal in the drama saying, excuse me, you need to take more from Baba. Or you need to get out of the way. I want to get what Baba's given you. Yeah. So good wishes and blessings. Very, very important to become, to stay up above the fray and the nonsense of Maya and Ravan's kingdom where nothing makes sense. Because everybody's just egos are fighting egos. Egos are arguing with egos. There's no reason, there's no rhyme, there's no common sense. Yeah. But to a place where you can generate light. And you know, good wishes, they help people to feel secure in your company. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you roll out the carpet of good wishes for somebody, bet your bottom dollar when you meet them in the day, they will meet you with a smile. They will really want to see you. They will meet you with the same good feelings that you sent out to them. The thing is, we don't give it enough attention. We're still too worried about our karmic accounts. Forget your karmic accounts. We know everybody's got karmic accounts. You're completely tamopradhan. God has told us himself. That's why he came into the tamopradhan world. So worrying about your karmic accounts and saying, my sanskara, my karmic account, it's not going to help at all. What is going to help is when you start generating those good wishes for yourself and for the people that you're working with. And you know, you do have to set aside some time for that. I remember in the early days of Oxford, Daddy would give us the advice that in the afternoon, take 45 minutes, 40 to 45 minutes, and send good wishes and sakash to all the new souls that come. And we realize that that's the subtle support that allows souls to come so close to Baba. Yeah? You can't just give gyan and then walk away. Yeah. There's a support of good wishes. We're sitting here today because of people's good wishes for us. Someone sacrificed for us. Someone pushed us forward. Someone helped us to go ahead of them. Right? So our job and duty is not just to stop and sit and complain and get caught up in our waste thoughts and worries, and is to recycle those good wishes. Pass them on. Stay busy in passing on those good wishes. Create someone's life with good wishes. You can create someone's life with good wishes. It's a very powerful force. Yes?
What to say inside, like in good wishes?
So the question is, what to say inside in good wishes? You know, first of all, it's not about immediately saying something, but it's about qualifying your mind to serve at that level. The thing that prevents good wishes or blocks the flow of good wishes are desires, subtle desires. So when there are desires, and they could take the form of expectations, they could take the form of wanting something from somebody, they could even take the form of being attracted to something or being disgusted by something, not liking something. Desires have both sides. There's the attraction and the repulsion. So look at your life right now and look at, where are the desires? Where do I still feel attracted to something, repulsed by something, like something, not like something? You know that game? Where am I still caught up in a game? Because our desires will feed a game inside. So that's the first place to look at. And really examine and do an audit of all those subtle desires. And then put them in front of Baba one by one and finish them with Gyan. Yeah, so you have an expectation of somebody in a relationship. You want them to be more considerate towards you, let's say, for example. But they don't have that software. Some people have that software. Every 2 seconds they'll keep asking, how are you? How are you? Some people don't have that software. So you can't put that software in their brain. And so what's the piece of gyan that helps there? What's the piece of gyan that helps? Mercy, but what's the gyan? Which gyan is it? Mercy is a form of gyan. So what's the gyan that helps in that situation? That's their karma. That's their part. That's their part. They've got a great part in the drama. That's their part. I have to play my part. Because the thing about subtle desires, you know, especially expectations, they create a state of expectancy where you wait inside. It's almost like you're waiting for something to happen before you can do something. You know, expectant. You wait until they change, and then you wait until they're happy, you wait until they're peaceful. So you never start playing your part. You're not mobilized in playing your part. You know, when I saw Daddy, Daddy knew what her part was. She played it. She didn't wait for anybody. If she knew I shattered, she'd get up and she'd start going. We'd be running behind with all the bags and the purses and the handbags and everything. And one day, I was running behind Daddy, trying to catch up with her. I said, Daddy, wait, I'm coming, I'm carrying all these bags. And she turned around, she looked at me, and she said, if you want to walk with the kings, you have to learn to keep up. You know? She shouldn't wait for anybody. With no desires. So look at this very deeply inside. Where is your mind being held up somewhere? You know, for example, I remember at the airport, I'm frequently traveling through Heathrow Airport, and you know that it's a simple thing, but you have to wait for your baggage. Now, typically speaking, within 20 minutes, I'm out of the airport anyway. But one time, we waited 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, no luggage, 30 minutes. Then an announcement came to say all the baggage handlers are on strike. So it's going to take longer than usual. So we waited. An hour went by. And I could see, you know, people's tolerance levels reducing. I said, when's the luggage going to come? When's the luggage going to come, right? This is a desire. I want my luggage so I can go home. I can go home. My luggage, go home. And then 1 second, and I could feel the tension building. And I thought, wait a minute. Okay, it's not just my luggage, it's everybody's luggage, right? Everybody wants to go home. Okay, and then what about those poor one or two guys that are behind the scenes desperately trying to cope up with handling all this luggage because they're on their own? So let's send them some good wishes. And suddenly you shift from a state of expectancy of my luggage, my time, I want to go home, to actually sending out the good wishes so something can help. And it was amazing. The moment I switched my attitude, and I thought, gosh, whoever those guys are behind the scenes, I have good wishes for them. Suddenly, the roller belt started. That's what we are as Brahmins. We're servers. We're not those who take. We have God. What more do you want? You want anything else? Some money, maybe? You sure? Nice house? Good swimming pool? You sure? Really? And I think when we remember our role as servers, we are Baba's helpers. And Baba is the one that removes sorrow and brings happiness. And that's our job. We have to fire all cylinders at every level to do that. Physically, emotionally, mentally. There's so much you can do with your mind just sitting in one place. So harnessing and utilizing that and knowing that I am a server, that will start to kickstart the good wishes. Yeah? Yes.
Sister, in that example,
yes.
When the rollers started, how did you feel?
I just saw the immediate connection between investing and the return. Because everything in life is a cycle of energy. Okay? So when we start giving out good wishes, guess what we're doing? We're helping the cycle to turn. We're helping things to move. You're mobilizing things. And the moment you do that here, you can do that physically, but there's limitations at a physical level. There's so much your body can do, but the capacity of your mind is unlimited. Your thoughts are your most powerful resource and energy. Your feelings, they don't have any boundaries. And so really, you know, it's such a beautiful quality of a deity soul, a non-violent deity. They will be so considerate of the tiniest effort someone has made for something. You know, I see this with the daddies. The daddies don't look at the surface, how beautiful something is and how well it's been done. They don't care about that. They look at the love and the effort with which it's done. And that's what they respond to. And that's what Baba responds to. You know? So I always feel we can't, as Brahmins, stop making effort and get paralyzed by anything. You know? Put ourselves in a situation where we go, can't. Are you feeling more hopeful now? Yes.
So this is very nice how you explain, you see the connection right away. Say the conveyor didn't start.
Mm-hmm.
So what will be your
The brother's on the conveyor belt still. I'll give you another example. Traffic. You're sitting in traffic. And sometimes I remember last few months ago, I was in India 6 months ago, and we were going from one city to another, and so much traffic. And you know, the little scooters can go in and out, but when you've got a big car, everybody's stuck, right? So you're sitting in there and you're thinking, oh, I want to move, but you can't move. You're in traffic. And then you start opening your awareness and you think, well, everybody wants to get to their destination, not just me. So let me have good wishes that everybody reaches their destination. So every time, you know, expectancy and desire shrink your sense of awareness to me and my time, my energy, my this. You know, it's like you become this little isolated entity. So in those moments when you're caught and stuck somewhere, you think, oh, my time, when am I going to get to my destiny? Just open your mind and just realize there's different souls here. And everybody wants to get to their destination. So when you broaden your mind like that, the good wishes flow. Because it's for everybody we're doing this. Everyone has to benefit because of you. This is the law for a Brahmin. I always feel this when I say this to Baba. That wherever my foot goes, souls have to benefit. Whichever way, whether I'm sitting on a plane, the first thing I do for the first 3 minutes, I said, Baba, great, I get to serve 320 souls. So I spend 5 minutes just really sending good wishes to all the souls on the plane. And then when there's a little break after the hostesses, I go down with my blessing cards, give everybody a blessing card, play a little game with them, talk to them. What is our life? But that's when you open your mind up to everyone. This is a big heart. You know, you need a big heart. You're not, as a Brahmin, your life is not for yourself. And if you're still living life only for yourself, very difficult to have good wishes. It is not for you. Your life is to bring benefit, for world benefit, right? Wherever we step foot, from the heart, not an artificial thing, but really, we're serving souls, so many souls every day around us. You don't know how your good wishes are reaching someone. But at least start having them. You don't even need to know how your good wishes are reaching someone. But you need to just generate it. It was so funny. I was in Canberra in Australia. And at the end of a public talk, there was a lady who stood up. And she said, Sister, how can I find out how many karmic accounts and how much karmic debt I still have left? And she said, you know, it's a little bit like when you buy a new house and you take out a mortgage. You know how much you have to pay back. So how much do I have left to pay back? I said, you don't worry about that. You just keep generating an income. You just keep giving. You don't worry, you've got God by your side. You just keep giving as much as you can. Because the more you give, Baba gives. The more you give, Baba gives. And the more your income, that will be settled. And then you won't even know when it's been settled, and you won't even know when you start accumulating. You'll automatically start to feel full and happy when you start accumulating. So don't focus. Otherwise, that kind of mindset is still transactional. Oh, I know I have to give. I have this much karmic account left, so I'm going to do this much service. How can you have good wishes with a transactional mindset? So I said, forget about your karmic debts. You just focus on being a server. Focus on giving. But you have to qualify yourself to give, huh? At a very deep level, to be free yourself from desires. You know, desires is what breeds violence and anger. We have to deeply, as Brahmins, adopt non-violence as our religion, our dharma. Non-violence. I saw this a lot in our daddies. You know, I remember Rukmini Ben sharing a story about Paradadi, Daddy Nirmal Shanta, Brahma Papa's daughter. And whenever it was Thursday, of course, Rukmini Ben would wash her hair. And one day she was sitting in Indraprastha, and in those days, Indraprastha by the Tower of Peace in Pandupavan, there was no glasses, it was just open, right? It was just pillars and open. And she would sit, comb her hair, and of course bits of her hair, she had long hair, would fall on the floor. And there were lots of sparrows around, you know, little birds. And Daddy came in and Daddy said, "Clean up all the hair on the floor." She said, "Even if one hair gets caught up in the leg of a sparrow, it won't be able to fly." Look at that thinking. To make sure that nothing of mine, no careless action of mine, oh, just throw the stuff on the floor, is going to bring sorrow for another. That level of attention to non-violence. And to realize that even if I'm having a critical thought, that's hurting someone. No. Promise. No. Once you put up the stop sign, it will not come. But if you don't put up a stop sign, you're allowing it to come. Okay.
When word meditation, how you solved that time, 1 hour, we have, you know, every month, world meditation.
World meditation.
How you, can you a little bit explain yourself?
What do I do in world meditation? I think first of all, what's important for me is world meditation is a time to donate vibrations of peace. So I make myself very, very peaceful. And I go through, become bodiless and become incorporeal and really sit with Baba in the home where I create this feeling inside that it's me and Baba and nothing else. Just me and Baba and nothing and no one else. Until there's this really deep, silent, very nourishing connection established. Right? And once that comes, then I just observe to see where this goes. Maybe I'll have a thought for the world, maybe nature, maybe something's happened. But many times in this state, I feel this sakash is reaching where it needs to go. But the effort is to get yourself into a stage where you feel it's just you and Baba and nothing else. Many times if you sit in yoga, you'll see it's you and Baba and one other. Or two others. There's other noise there. So you need to crack this. But when it happens, those vibrations of peace, they reach their destination. Very powerfully. Okay. So this is December. In this month, Daddy would really encourage souls. You're in Madhuban. Whatever you want to do, do it here. You want to clean your thoughts up? Clean them here. Clean up your feelings, clean them here. You want to make a determined thought, make your promises, you make them here because they are stamped by the godly government here. Okay? Don't wait. Don't say, when I go back home, I'm going to do this. Start now. That's when your efforts start to get accelerated. So three things. Time, promise, and double service, giving and receiving good wishes, serving yourself and others at the same time. Okay? Now, no more complaints. So every time you say the word, "I've come last," add so fast to it. Okay, and then no complaints. Really, we have a gift. We have a blessing. That blessing will work. It's a blessing given by Baba. It's not possible for blessings not to work. But you have to remember the full blessing, not just the first word of the blessing. Right? Last, so fast, so first. Okay? Okay. Om Shanti. Thank you.